In today's gospel, Christ instructs us that he will send the Spirit of truth to enable us to keep his commandments. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm sure many of you here today remember the name Carl Sandburg. He's been dead for some years now, but he was the premier poet of America. He won 3 Pulitzer Prizes, 2 for his works in poetry, and 1 for his biography of Abraham Lincoln. He's a great master of the English language. And one day he was being interviewed by a reporter. The reporter asked him this question. He said, "Mr. Sandburg, with all your knowledge of English and the way you use words and all that, tell me, what do you think is the ugliest word in the English language? What's the ugliest word in the English language?" Now, I wonder how you and I would answer that question. What do you think the ugliest word in English is? Some curse word, swear word, some racial or sexist epithet? What would you think? You know what Carl Sandburg said? After thinking about it for a little bit, he said this: "The ugliest word in English is the word exclusive." Think about that. The ugliest word in English is the word exclusive. Now, why would he say that? Well, think about the word exclusive. It comes from the same root as the word excluded, right? Exclusive. You live in an exclusive neighborhood? What's that mean? For one reason or another, some people are excluded from that neighborhood. They can't afford it. Maybe it's a gated community. Maybe there's one way or another discrimination about who gets in there. You belong to an exclusive country club. What's that mean? Somebody's in charge of membership, and they decide who's getting in and who's getting out. So the word exclusive means, in some ways, that some people are on the inside and some people are on the outside. Some people are members of the club and some people aren't members of the club and are kept out. Some people aren't good enough to get in. So maybe from that point of view, the word exclusive is a very ugly word. Now, I share that with you today because we see a little bit of something like that in the first reading of today's Mass. We see the early church beginning to preach the good news of Jesus in the area that's called Samaria. Now remember, Samaria was a part of Palestine, but it was a part of Palestine that many of the good Jewish people looked down on. In 700 BC, Samaria was invaded by foreigners. And ultimately, the Jewish people there began to intermarry with them. And so the good Jews, so to speak, good Jews of Palestine, began to look down on the Samaritans. They were a mixed breed. They weren't welcome anymore in the temple in Jerusalem because of that. So they created their own temple. There's a lot of animosity between the Jewish people and the Samaritans. In fact, when you were traveling from the northern part of Palestine to go to Jerusalem, the quickest route was to go through Samaria. But a good Jew would spend an extra day going around Samaria so you wouldn't have to dirty your feet on that soil. In other words, the Samaritans weren't good enough to get into your country club if you were a Jew in those days. And yet, here's the interesting thing. The church sends people to Samaria, begins preaching the good news, and the Samaritans begin to believe. And Peter and John are sent down to them, and they pray over them. And what happens? The Samaritans receive the Holy Spirit, just like the good Jewish Christians had. The same Holy Spirit is given to them, the outcasts, the ones that everybody looks down on. The same Spirit is given to them as is given to the upstanding Jewish Christians. Apparently, God had room in his country club for them, even though they were looked down upon by everybody else. And see the importance of that message for us today. What God is saying to us is, for him, there are no insiders or outsiders. For him, the kingdom is open to everybody. It's not exclusive. Nobody's kept out, unless you want to keep yourself out. You can choose not to enter the kingdom to receive the gift, but you're not kept out because of who you are. Now, I read someplace recently an interesting little thought. They said that when we're little, we start looking in a mirror. We see our face in the mirror. We see ourselves, and we see as we see ourselves, we begin to love ourselves. And then we begin to love everybody that looks like us. Everybody that thinks like us, everybody that we can associate with as being the same as us. The danger is that we keep looking in the mirror, and we never look out the window to see that there are other people out there who aren't quite the same as us. So we begin to love only those who look the way we do, think the way we do, because we never look out the window to see other people, other kinds of people. And that's what today's first reading says to us. Look, there's nobody excluded. There's no ins and outs, unless you choose to be on the outs, so to speak. And I had a wonderful little story about this very wise woman who had a group of disciples. And one day she says to her disciples, "Tell me, how do you know night is ending and day is beginning? How do you know when it's dawn?" So they go off and think about it. They come back and they say, "Well, is it when there's enough light so you can look at an animal on the road and you know it's a dog and not a sheep?" She said, no, it's not that. "Well, is it when there's enough light so you can see a tree and you know it's an apple tree and not a peach tree?" No, it's not that. So they go and think some more, and they come back and they say, we don't know. We don't understand. "How do you know night is ending and day is beginning?" And she said, "When you can look on the face of every other person and see they are a brother or a sister. Because if you can't do that, it's always night. If you can't look on the face of every other person and see a brother or a sister, it's always night." So look at our world today. You see a lot of night, dark in our world? Why is that? Because we don't believe the Samaritans can receive the Holy Spirit, so to speak? Remember a few years ago, this is kind of burned into my mind. Remember a few years ago down in Charlottesville, Virginia, when they had that huge racial hubbub down there? I can just still see that group of 100, 150, 200 neo-Nazis and skinheads and white supremacists walking along carrying bats and pipes and chains. What were they chanting? You will not replace us. You will not replace us. Now, who's the you they were talking about? Well, that day, the you was basically the Jewish people and people of color. You will not replace us. Obviously, they couldn't look on the face of everybody else and see a brother or a sister. That's why it's night. That's why it's night. One of the recent mass shootings took place. When they went online and looked at the online activity of the shooter, what'd they find? All that kind of white supremacist hate speech, making everybody afraid that somebody out to get you. How sad, huh? But remember, night is not going to become day ever until we understand that everybody can receive the Holy Spirit, that the kingdom is not exclusive unless we begin treating each other that way. Let me conclude with a little story. Maybe summarizes what I'm trying to say. There was a family that had four children, 12-year-old boy, 10-year-old boy, 8-year-old boy, 5-year-old girl. All the children had their own room. Now, you know what that means when you're a child. I mean, you know, we have your own room. That's like your sacred space, your domain, right? So the 12-year-old boy put a sign up on his door, big red letters. Keep out. Sound familiar to some families? 10-year-old, not to be outdone, put a sign up on his door. Strictly forbidden. 8-year-old put a sign up on his door. Members only. Of course, he was the only member, but it's all right. You know, members only. A little 5-year-old girl, in her beginning handwriting, wrote these words on her sign, which she put up. This is what she wrote. ENNYBUDYWELCUM. Anybody welcome. Anybody welcome. My brothers and sisters, as we gather here this morning, there's a sign on the door of the church. One of those signs. You know which one it is? You know which one it is? Anybody welcome. Thank God, because you're welcome, and I'm welcome. Anybody welcome who wants the kingdom of God. May God bless you.